Oh, yeah.
Is he that? Is he this? Did he do it? You know,
look,
if I shoot you, I'm brainless. Different toilet, same shit, and I'm sick of explaining it. I'm waiting on the Raymond. My nigga is the plaintiff. Yeah, I know what you thinking. Fucked up, ain't it? I should have known better, and I planned to. But dog, they be taking me out of my zone like a nigga with a handle. I sat back and watched it, put the gas back in the closet. I try to tie my hands like an Iraqi hostage. That niggas take shots at me, no response. I just flip and pop my collar like the Fonz. You give a nigga a foot, they take you one step beyond. They try to play you twice, the third time is the charm. You wanna conversate with the writer of the Quran or Old Testament? Don't test the men. I know what y'all thinking, dick. Pause. Your future's my past. I've been here before. I know when you're scheming. I feel when you plotting. I got mental vision, intuition. I know where you're going. I read your mind's navigational system. Everybody whispering. Whispering. Streets are talking. Niggas is gossiping. Bitches calling your shit. What's the cause of it? I need to know. You see me with a bodyguard. That means police is watching.
The streets is talking, sports talk radio with a little twist in hip hop. It's your boy, the Diabolical, the one and only L Boogie. And my co-host, T Row from Dallas, Texas. And you know, as usual, we got Jewels and G on assignment. He will be clicking in this evening. You know, dropping us some jewels on some hot topics that we got. T. Row, good evening to you. How you doing on this marvelous Monday? Marvelous. It's Masters Monday.
Nah, we doing good, L Boogie. What's up to you and the world? And also the other co-host, Jewels the G, coming in later on. What's up to the fam? How you doing on this Monday, baby?
Man, first of all, I want to say I was, you know, having a good day, blessed that I am alive because of the situation that, you know, happened at the Boston Marathon today. You know, they had the Boston Marathon. If people don't know, if the world hasn't been tuning in, and we know some people work, so we're going to get them in on what happened today. 27,000 runners entered the race at the Boston Marathon. They had multiple explosions. As of right now, as they're, you know, getting the debris and going through everything, investigations, they're two dead so far and over 100 injured. My question to you in the world, and world, if you want to call in and give your opinion of what was the reason for the bombing and who do you think conspired and who did the bombing, give us a call. 347-855-8896, and just press that one and give us your intake on what do you think. And T Row, as you know, we continue and go on, you know, to something, but what do you think?
Yeah,
I know,
man,
you had
that
time
was
to ponder.
Yeah, that was a bad situation, L Boogie. You know, all our thoughts and prayers from the streets is talking is going to all the family members that were affected or even the runners that were affected down there at the Boston Marathon. And what happened, I was checking out ESPN and also CNN, and they were saying that 17,000 of the 27,000 runners had already completed the race. So there were 10,000 runners that were still left, still trying to complete the time. Because, you know, there are some runners that are in these marathons that are, you know, this is their sport. This is what they live for. And so most of the runners had finished the race, so to speak. But, you know, just to still have that incident happen down there in Boston with a lot of kids being surrounded down there. And, you know, it's just a sad, sad situation that happened in Boston this evening. So we're going to keep our eyes and our ears posted on what's going on. And, you know, we'll fill our callers in when we get the information as well. So go ahead, El Boogie.
Well, you know, the streets is always talking. And, you know, when the streets is talking, E.F. Hutton is listening. Like E.F. Hutton, people listening. I don't want to, you know, as like you said, we want to gather information and do a little research. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of this bombing, world? We might say it's Iraq. We're feuding with the, you know, overseas with China. Am I correct, T-Row?
Yes,
we're
you
feuding.
Are. Yeah, yes, you are.
So it could be anyone just to do a verbal jabbing. And, you know, we in the streets, and, you know, a friend of mine said, wow, they've touched something that's the purest that we thought they would not touch since 96 at the Olympics, which is a sport. I guess with that, you know, we're very vulnerable. We're thinking that, you know, during that particular time, hey, we can just have fun. Everybody's calm. Nothing's going to happen. But you got to be on your P's and Q's at all type of events. And I don't care if you're going to a Kevin Hart concert, you better be ready.
Yeah, you always got to stay ready, L Boogie. You know, from what happened in Colorado not too long ago with the guy shooting up the movie theater, you know, what happened at the little elementary school out in Connecticut. You know, it's just getting ill out there, man. So you always got to be ready. And, you know, like you said, keep yourself on point, even because, you know, we even take our kids out. And it's more dangerous for the kids than it is with the adults, because the kids have a tendency to panic. And when you have a lot of other people panicking, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, maintain the people that you're with in that type of situation, because you want to definitely make sure that the people that you came with, you leave with. You know, we always said, we come together, we leave together. It ain't no separating. Nobody's leaving, you know, one from another. We come together, we leave together. So, yeah, always keep your antennas up, because we never know what's going on, and keep yourself prepared.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I have a bootleg, man. That's why I have a bootleg, man, and I don't go to the theater. From what happened in Colorado, be careful how you speedy, how your spotty senses tingling at all times. But let's move on. Something a little bit, you know, more. And like we said, it's Masters Monday. T-Raw, what happened to your boy, man? That's your man. That's your man.
Yeah. You got me this week, L Boogie. I thought my man was ready, but I do think, and honestly believe, that Tiger played real hard, and with that two-stroke penalty that cost him almost to actually disqualify himself from the Masters, you know, I think that played a major part in him not being able to really bring it home to win this Masters tournament, to win another major. But, you know, there are three other majors coming up. He didn't do bad. He didn't do bad, but, you know, I'm just going to have to take your word for it, L Boogie. He ain't ready to win another major just yet, I believe. I think he's still kind of shaky when it comes to this, to the big ones, to winning these majors. But, you know, Tiger's still young as far as golf age is concerned. So he has time to really put himself in position to win four, five, or even more than that as far as majors are concerned, to pass the great Jack Nicklaus. Because we know from what we've seen so far this year in the golf season, even though it's early, that Tiger has been playing real good. It wasn't like he was, you know, tied for 24th or 25th. He was three strokes back, and without the two-stroke penalty, you never know what kind of pressure Tiger would have put on the competition that was there. Because we saw Angel Cabrera, you know, kind of, you know, have that moment where the pressure is big time. You got 10,000 people standing around the 18th hole, and, you know, he just, by inches, he missed the cut. You know what I mean? And they had to go into a playoff, and, you know, we all know what happened. Adam Scott ended up winning the tournament in that playoff, making his putt, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm going to have to take your word for it, L Boogie, and jump on your bandwagon. You know, Tiger ain't ready for these majors. I don't think he's ready. He keeps showing us that, you know, time and time again. It's just something about the majors that he can't win. So it is what it is. We'll see how he prepares himself for the next major coming up, and if he can keep himself, keep the momentum going, so to speak, I think he can prepare himself to win one of these next three within the year.
Bands to make her dance. Bands to make her dance. Bands to make her dance.
What you mean? He needs to get in the strip club.
He needs to get the eye back in Tiger. He needs to get back into the strip club. He needs to get back into getting into what he do.
Hit him, he's back.
You hear it?
No, he didn't. The engineers say Tiger needs an eye back.
Bands will make her dance, I'm telling you. And if Tiger does that, you see, Tiger is so tight. He's playing so perfect. He's trying so hard. Like when he dropped the ball, he penalized himself. Minus two strokes. He missed a lot of easy birdies. He bogeyed a couple holes. I mean, Tiger needs to get back to playing loose, not thinking, and just, you know, yes, he says the right thing. He's saying, yes, I am the best in the world, but numbers do lie. Just because you're the number one player in the world, what does that mean in golf? Nothing. I told you, Ro, Tiger is in the bag. He's in my backyard. He's ready. It's almost Wednesday.
Man, hold up, man. Don't put Tiger out there so quick, man. Tiger, he was in contention, man, and he just told on himself. And what's so odd, and we've been talking about officiating in the NBA and also in the NCAA tournament, you know, we can go talk about officiating here in the Masters Golf Tournament because they actually didn't penalize my dude until after they heard him talking to Tim Rinaldi about, you know, exactly what happened at that particular point when he hit the shot. So after they, you know, viewed the tape, because during the actual tournament when he dropped the ball, he went into the clubhouse, signed off on his card, and they signed off on his card, meaning that he's good. Nothing's wrong. Continue on. We'll see you tomorrow, Tiger. But instead, when he woke up Saturday morning, first thing they did was knock on his door and tell him, hey, Tiger, we got to give you a two-stroke penalty, man. We heard what you said. So I think it's kind of an officiating error and also on Tiger just as well because he incriminated himself. You know you ain't supposed to snitch on yourself, L Boogie. This is the street. You can't snitch on yourself and let the world see it to where they can go back and replay it. And so they had to penalize him. But the great thing about it is that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, he was actually supposed to disqualify himself. Now, does that mean Tiger don't know the rules? How can you be the number one player and not know the rules of the game? You've been playing since you were 4 or 5 years old. You know what I mean? So I don't understand that either, but I'm glad he didn't disqualify himself because if he would have done that, it would have been more talk about him doing that instead of the actual, you know, tournament itself. So I'm cool, you know, with how Tiger ended. Like I said, he didn't get blowed out. He was only three back, and if we wouldn't have counted the two-stroke penalty, he would have been even closer and put some pressure on some guys. So, you know, I think he's just warming up. It is, you know, even though it was a major, he didn't win it. You know, we all sweating and sitting on the edge of our seats wanting Tiger to win a major, you know, right now, thinking that he's back. But, you know, yeah, he's just warming up, man. He's been doing good this year so far, you know, being qualifying in the top five, you know, finishing in the top five or even winning some of these tournaments so far. So I'm going to give Tiger the benefit of the doubt. But like I said, I got to jump on your bandwagon and just say, you know, hey, I don't think he's going to win a major anytime soon. But good thing he's still young in golf age because, you know, Jack won his 18th major when he was 54, 55. So, you know, he got time.
Well, while you're sitting on the edge of your seat, I'm going to be in my lazy boy. And until he hits the final putt on the 18th to make him the winner of the next major, that's the only time I'm going to hit my recline chair and sit upright like I'm on a flight getting ready to land. When the students tell you that it's time to sit upright, that's when I will be on the edge of my seat thinking Tiger's going to win. Callers, question of the night, do you think Tiger Woods will win a major in 2013? That's going to be the major question. And as we go into commercial, Tiger, I need to see that eye in Tiger. Get back to doing this, man. It's your boy, L. Boogie, T. Rose, Jewels, the G. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check us out. And Rose, remember, tell a friend, and tell a girlfriend.
With me, she got friends, bring three. I got drugs, I got drink. Bend it over, Juicy J gon' poke it like wet paint. You say no to ratchet pussy, Juicy J can't. Racks everywhere, they showing racks, I'm throwing racks. In a VIP, rubber on, I'm stretching that. Bitch niggas sipping, broke niggas looking. And it ain't a strip club if they ain't showing pussy. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. All these chicks popping pussy. I'm just popping bangs. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. These chicks clapping and they ain't using hands. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. All these chicks popping pussy. I'm just popping bangs. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. These chicks clapping and they ain't using hands.
Pop that pussy for a real nigga. Pull out my black card. That's my lil nigga. Make a movie with your bitch, Steven Spiel, nigga. Smoking on Keisha. Cold, give me chills, nigga. What's your real name? And not your stripper name. I make it rain on you like a window pane. Bands will make her dance. Can't you make her come hit it from the side like a motherfucking bass drum? Two hoes on one fucking pole, two hoes on my fucking pole. I don't tip, I pay bills. Bitches call me Buffalo. Her stomach and her ass out. I'm flyer than the ones they pass out. If money grown trees, I branched out. I'm just waiting for my bitch to cash out.
Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. All these chicks popping pussy. I'm just popping bangs. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. These chicks clapping and they ain't using hands. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. All these chicks popping pussy. I'm just popping bangs. Bands will make her dance. Bands will make her dance. These chicks clapping and they ain't using hands.
Two giant, four bracelets. Let me see the ass clap. Standing out. Face, bro. If your girl don't swallow kids, man, that whole face. Ooh. Got two bitches with me. Take a shot of one hoe. Using her friend for a chase.
Bands make a bust. Let me see you touch it.
Money talk. You ain't got no end or discussion.
Bands will make her do it. Pocket full of money.
You're back. The streets is talking with a twist of hip hop. Tiger. When you come back out here to Phoenix, man. Or wherever city you at, man, if they got a pink rhino, we flying in. Let's go. Me and you, man. And my in the streets is talking crew. We gonna meet up, man. Let's go to the rhino. We gotta get you back on track, man. Pink rhino, let's go. Turn up, as the young people would say.
Jaguars, Christie's, anything. Baby dolls, we gonna get you in there, Tiger. We need your swag back, baby. You need that $1 billion swag back, baby.
You already know. Before we get our callers in on the marquee, let's go to another subject, bro. Man, let's talk about the NBA. And the first thing, as I think about the NBA, Kobe Jelly Bean Bryant. Torn Achilles against Golden State on Friday. One more game left. They're a game and a half up in the playoff race. Two questions. Will they make the playoffs? And with Kobe, I didn't think they were going to win a series. Now, without Kobe, will they win a series? Not only a series, will they win a game? Callers, let us know. T-Row, what do you think? The Lakers, are they going to get in? They're going to backdoor themselves in the playoffs?
Yeah, they're going to get in. They definitely in. That wasn't a question about them getting in with or without Kobe. I thought they were going to have a chance to get in.
But, yeah, the big question is how good are they going to be without Kobe? And right now they're actually 2-1 without Kobe, you know, with Kobe missing one game this year. But, you know, I don't wish this on any man. You know, I don't like the Lakers, but I like Kobe. You know what I mean? And I just hate to see that Kobe went down like that. But this will let us see how good the Lakers really are. The team can come in and gel. And as far as answering question number two, will they actually win a series or actually win a game? They have an opportunity to win a game. They're not that bad of a squad to where they can't win a game. Just momentum of being at home gives them an opportunity to win one. If they don't win it, they're going to lose it real close by one or two. So, yeah, I give them a chance to win a game. To actually win a series, I think not. Because even though we were matching them up with San Antonio, you know, giving them an opportunity to win that series with Kobe, you know, even if they play a slowdown team and beat San Antonio last night, I don't think that's going to happen in a, you know, in a seven-game series. They got to beat them four times straight, so I don't think that's going to happen. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, the Lakers had to suffer this type of loss. It's going to take Kobe a while to come back. I'm kind of thinking that Kobe's going to be in that D-roll situation. I really don't think he's going to rush to come back, making $30 million next year, you know, and trying to recuperate yourself. I don't think he's going to be in too much of a hurry to come back. But I will say this. He's going to come back, and he's going to eventually pass Mike for fourth all-time on the scoring list. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to be his motivation to coming back, not just to play, you know, to win a championship, but just to go ahead and get, you know, break that record with Mike and getting that scoring more points than Mike on the list. So I think that'll be his motivation for coming back just as well.
Wow, so... Do you think that next year will be his last year? That I'll pose that question to you and the caller, and I don't want you to answer that real quick before I say what I'm going to say. Now I will say this to your point. Yes, the Lakers played a good game the other night against the San Antonio Spurs, but we know this NBA league, and when you lose a perimeter player, an all-star, it hurts more than maybe losing that guy down low, because you can slide somebody down and you can play small. They play small in the NBA nowadays. But just losing a perimeter player of stature of the Black Mamba is going to be tough. And let me say this about the NBA too. It's watered down. I didn't even really like the NBA this year, and I'm a basketball guy. I mean, I paid for my scholarship for me to get a free education, and I love the NBA. I give back to it. But at the same time, it's saturated. We'll see. Hopefully, like I said, the 82-game struggle was very hard to watch. I only watched a couple of teams, and when I watched those teams, I made sure that they played another good team. So it's going to be tough. But the Lakers losing Kobe Bryant, I don't see them getting even past. I don't even see them making noise, like rumblings in the first round. They might as well get the pitchers ready on TNT with Kenny, Chuck, and Ernie and Shaq. Get them all ready together. Get some good ones because they're going fishing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. They might as well get the final pitchers ready because, yeah, I give them a game, but, yeah, I don't give them a series. If they have to play Oklahoma City, yeah, they might not win a game. It's going to be lights out. Them boys going to run them to death. And, you know, it is what it is, man. It's just unfortunate that Kobe had to go down and we have to now, you know, check out the Lakers and see what they're going to do without him. My God, they got lucky last night. I don't know if it's luck, but I think it was, you know, more so of, you know, trying to prove everybody wrong and, you know, not have – the media sort of down their back, you know what I'm saying? So I think they did a good job of winning last night, but we'll see what happens on Sunday once we figure out who's playing who and, you know, what the schedule's going to look like for the playoffs.
Should Kobe retire after next year, after his contract's up? Because let's remember this. It takes 9 months to a year for you to recover. So will they sign him to another 2 to 3 year contract, or will it be just a 1 year deal after next year, or will he retire?
No, I don't think they're going to re-sign him again. Kobe's been 17 years strong, and this injury kind of maybe it has put it in perspective more of the retirement now for Kobe. But you know what? I'm not too for sure, because Laker Nation and those who love Kobe that know Kobe better than we know Kobe may, you know, something miraculous may happen with, you know, how the surgery goes and how he rehabs himself, because we know Kobe is a determined individual. He's a determined individual. So, you know, we never know what could happen. You know, age ain't nothing but a number. And, you know, it's just got to be all about heart. Will he retire? Like I said, the only thing I see Kobe coming back for, I'm not going to say he doesn't want a ring, but I don't think that the ring is in the future. I think that basically he'll just come back and get you know, placed on the fourth place ladder as far as points all time in the NBA to pass Mike, because he's really not that far from Mike. And, you know, I think that's a motivation factor for him. Championship is out the window. Retirement, yeah. You know, it just depends on, you know, 6 to 9 months is a long time. But in Kobe's case, you know, I kind of see him doing like D. Rose, making sure that he is going to be ready when he does come back. So if he doesn't come back next season, you know, if the Lakers, I'm not going to say they're not going to be sorry like they are now or have as many wins as they do now, you know, but, you know, if they kind of come back like they did this year, yeah, it's no reason for him to keep trying and doing the things that's going to hurt him even more, you know. So I think he'll retire after this season, depending on when he comes back, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I think he wants to get that scoring from above Mike. He might not get 6 rings, but he'll definitely pass Mike for, you know, most points all time as far as where they stand on the list.
Now, you brought up the kid. Derrick Rose has said that he's 100%, or they have said he's physically ready to play, but he feels as though mentally he's not ready to play, or I shouldn't say mentally, but he's saying that he's not quite there yet. He's making $16 million a year. I can see if he was still in the Cavs. But, Ro, let me ask you this. You're at a home game. You've lost 8 out of the last 11 games. You play on the Chicago Bulls. He's been doing well in practice. It's a home game. Is it a big deal that he's in the suite and he's not sitting on the bench with his teammates as they go through the war? Shouldn't he have on his suit and sit on the sideline with his guys? He's up in the suite, kicking it with the family, with the babies.
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes both ways, because he is the franchise of Chicago. So, you know, when you are the man, you got an MVP in that city for you know, getting your team, you know, doing what he's done for the team. You know, you kind of get that. Kind of get that kind of treatment. You get that VIP treatment to do that. Yeah, him being 100%, you know, like I said a couple shows back, I'm kind of upset at D. Rose, because there have been 2 or 3 other guys who suffered the same injury that he suffered last year, right around the same time that he suffered the injury, and they're back, and they're balling. And they're not worried about, you know, what's on their mental. They're just out there playing the game. But, you know, Derrick Rose has been injured before and came back too early, had to sit out. So, you know, I'm not gonna say anything about D. Rose as far as, you know, him coming back and playing. What I will say is that when he does come back, the first thing he better do is dunk on somebody's neck so that I know that he's back, not only physically but mentally, you know, because I really don't understand him sitting out like he's sitting out right now. So some other guys out there playing. Shumpert is getting his in and doing it big for the New York Knicks and helping the Knicks secure what they need to secure. And if Derrick Rose was back,
that would help Chicago due to the fact that they have lost so many players due to injury just at the last month. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways. I don't know what's going on with Derrick Rose, you know, the mental part of it, but he needs to come back, man. That's what he should do for his team. He should come back. I don't know why he's taking the whole year off.
Right, and I'm not saying that, you know, he shouldn't keep sitting out. My point or my thing maybe being a teammate of his is just sitting on the bench at home games with the team. You're up in the suite kicking it. You with your family. We getting blown out by 15 at the crib. You kicking it up top. You think that's a mental psyche to his teammates? How would you feel? Call us. Let us know. 347-855-8896. Come get into the asylum. Because, you know, we the prisoners. We running the asylum. You know how it used to be the other way. Don't let the prisoners run the asylum. But we running it because we in the streets. The streets is talking. Tweet me. L Boogie 15. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they got to understand it with Derrick Rose out there in Chicago, because that's the only way you can go and kick it in the stands. I mean, you know, depending on what type of guy he is, you know, you probably see him at half before the game, you probably see him during halftime, and then you probably see him at the end of the show. So, you know, it is what it is, man. I just don't like the fact that, you know, he's not, like you say, he's not suited up. I mean, at least put your warm-up on and sit on the bench. You know, people come to see you even though you ain't playing. We paying $125 for them damn shoes you have. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even playing. But yet, you know, I come to the game to check you out, and you sitting up in the suite. I can't even get a picture of you in the suite. Get your ass down here on the bench. Let me get a picture of your player.
You know, and see what type of suit you got on, because I'm paying that salary. My tax dollars is paying that salary, that $16 million. So can you please sit on the bench with your suit on, with your Armani suit and your Rolex and your diamonds and, you know, I know you smell the money.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he should be able to sit down on the bench, man. It ain't nothing wrong with that. But like I said, man, when you win an MVP in that city, you know, you're the second best thing coming to Jordan. So, you know, it is what it is. He got that VIP trip. Got that VIP treatment down there in Chicago, man. So it is what it is, man. I don't think they have a problem with it, because if they did, you know, by now one of them suckers would have already put it in the report, you know, out to the media. Don't say my name, but, you know, an unknown source say, man, he wrong for that. So they haven't spilled the beans on him just yet. So I think they might just be cool with it.
There you got it. There you have it. DJ, our producer, DJ Steph, is saying it's time to go to the commercial. When we come back from commercial, we're going to give you, you know, give us your overview, callers, of what you thought as far as the topics, your opinions, and you get up in the asylum and get your word in. Get fingerprinted. It's your boy, L Boogie, T. Rose, ULG. The streets is talking. One.
What's your name? What's your sign? Zodiac killer. All rats gotta die, even Master Splinter. Yeah, murder 187. I be killing them bitches. I hope all dogs go to heaven. And I got Xanax, Percocet, Promethazine with codeine. Call me Mr. Sandman. I'm selling all these whole dreams. Got a white girl with bitch titties, flat ass TV screen. I keep a bad bitch. Call me the BB King. And you know I got that mouth. Then put the bitch out like a house fire. I'm killing these hoes like Michael Myers. I eat that cat just like a lion. And I can't trust none of these niggas. Can't trust none of these hoes. And I see your girl when I want. I got that whole TiVo. Got a red ass bitch with a red ass pussy. Nigga try me, that's a dead ass pussy. But y'all motherfuckers so blind to the fact. To tell you the truth, I don't care who's looking. All I know is I love my bitch. That pussy feel just like heaven on earth. 6 feet deep, dick shovel in the dirt. R.I.P. Rest in pussy. Like that shit, then pass that shit.
that's 2 Chainz.
Look at you. Now look at us. All my niggas look rich as fuck. All my niggas live rich as fuck. All my niggas look rich as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Now look at us.
Now look at us.
All my niggas look rich as fuck.
Right next to that Bible, but I swear with these 50 shots, I'll shoot it out with 5-0. Pockets getting too fat, no weight watch, no lipo. Money talks bullshit, walks on a motherfucking tightrope. And I make that pussy tap out, I knock that pussy out cold. Nigga, you can beat the trap out, but that just how the dice roll. These hoes want that hose pipe, so I give all these hoes pipes. She get on that dick and stay on. All night, like porch lights, let's do it. Fuck talking, we out here, we ballin'. And I'm spraying at these western niggas like WD-40. We fucked up, we trucked up, no ifs, ands, or buts. Fuck, bitch niggas go behind your back like nunchucks, and that's fucked up. But my hoes down, my cups up, my niggas down for whatever. These bitches think they too fly, but tell them hoes I pluck feathers. I'm Tucci, young Tucci, I wear truck fit, fuck Gucci. She blowin' kisses at me with her pussy lips. Smooches, and that's 2 Chainz.
Look at you. Now look at us.
Yeah.
All my niggas look rich as fuck.
What?
All my niggas live rich as fuck.
What?
All my niggas look rich as fuck.
Hey, yo, fuck all y'all bitches.
You.
Straight up.
Now look at us.
Any bitch out that lane that won't give me no pussy.
All my niggas look rich as fuck.
Fuck you.
Woo! All my cats look rich as what?
All my little...
You already know. It's your boy, El Boogie, T-Roll, Jewels, the G. You're back. We back. Recap of the first quarter of the show. The first quarter, the Boston Marathon explosions. Tiger Woods at the Masters. What you think? Will he win another major?
Hell.
Then you got Kobe Bryant. Will he retire after next year? We know he's gunning for Michael Jordan's points. So call us. When you call in, give us your status, what you think of the show, your opinions. And remember, don't hold nothing back. You in the asylum, baby. T-Roll, who our first caller?
Man, you know who it is. You already know who it is. It's one of the callers that always stay in. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Sonny Red calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Sonny Red, what's happening, baby?
What's going on, fellas, man? The streets is talking. The streets is rocking. Are they talking now?
Yeah, man.
Yes,
man. Let's get a few topics, man. Tiger Woods. I love how Tiger went for it this weekend, man, with all the pressure on him, how he was the heads up favorite to lead the field to win the event, and for you to go in there with that kind of bullseye on your back and fight. I loved it, didn't he, man? Even though he ain't winning, he went for it. And as far as him dropping the ball and the integrity of the game and all the hoopla and Did they cheat Tiger, and did that Tiger cheat them? No, man, it was a – Tiger dropped the ball trying to get advantage. His intent was, once they found out what his intent was, he was Dr. 2 points, the two shots, which he should have, and it worked out how it should have, man. He got Dr. 2 little strike, the two shots, and he went balls in from there on in, man. I just love the competitiveness in Tiger. And not only that, but the field stood up too, man. Congratulations to the Australian dude who finally brought one home for the Aussies. Okay, shout out to him. Now, Black, we're going to talk about the Black Mamba and Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, the show me kid, man. Listen, by the injury being 6 to 9 months, it's going to be tough for the Laker Nation to really – you know, Jerry Buss and the organization assigned Kobe, but, you know, what he did so much for the organization, how can you really say, no, Kobe, go ahead somewhere? So it all depends on how Kobe's feeling as far as injury, if he's going to stand up, because that's a hell of an injury, man, especially when you're 35, 37 years old to come back from that. At 17 is hard, let alone when you're damn near 40, man. And his nature, he wants to come back. Who wants to go out on an injury? Period, especially when you're a great one. Who wants to hang up the shoes
off an injury. I wish Kobe well, man. Do I think the Lakers got a chance without Kobe? No, I don't. But Laker Nation to get a chance to see the pick and roll that they've been looking for. Dwight Howard may step his game up a little bit without Kobe because, I mean, what else do you have there but a Nance? I mean, but a Nash and a Dwight Howard. Maybe we get a chance to see what Dwight Howard can really do and that can help them go forward as the next year if they're going to sign him or not. But do I think they have a chance in the playoffs? No, I don't. With Kobe, yes, they had a chance, but now I don't see it. But a big shout-out to Laker Nation, man. I hope they do good. I just want to see good playoff basketball, and it's going to get interesting. It's going to get interesting with these C's, these four and five, the Clippers and the Grizzlies. Man, it's going to get interesting. Get your popcorn together like T.O. say, man, and that's basically all I got. Big shout-out to LeBron James, LeBron James of Miami Heat, man. Let's get it done. Let's just get it done. I don't even know why we're playing this game. Give a championship to the Heat, and let's go on for next year. Let's do that, man. Go on, y'all. Tell me what y'all got to say, man. I'm listening.
Here we go. First question. Do you think Tiger will win a major championship this year?
Yes, I do think he'll win another major. But not only do I think he'll win another major, but I think he'll win the U.S. Open, man. Listen, if Tiger wouldn't have, I mean, we can say what if and if and if, but if Tiger wouldn't have hit that flagpole and his ball wouldn't have won the water, hey, I think we giving the green jacket to Tiger Woods, man. I mean, it's easy to say, watching it on my couch and my sofa, what would happen, what could happen, but I think Tiger Woods is going to win the U.S. Open next month, next week, whenever they tee that off, man, because I think a lot of pressure is not going to be on Tiger with this U.S. Open. And not only that, the U.S. Open is more of a putter's course, and not only that, Tiger mad, man. Tiger mad. That boy went in the water and the ups and downs of Tiger mad. So, yes, I do think, not only do I think he'll win another major, but I think he's going to win the next major.
Wow, Tiger's mad. So what, Tiger's mad? What does that mean? It hasn't been anything in 5 years.
That means a lot. Have you ever had a mad Tiger on your ass?
Man, we see my mad Tiger.
You never had a mad Tiger on you, L. Once you get a mad Tiger on you, then you tell me so what. That means a lot when a Tiger is mad and is chasing you, man.
Man, if he ain't hungry and don't have that eye in the Tiger, you have nothing. Santa, you gotta join us. We don't get on the party bus and go to
Pink Rhino. This weekend, I seen Tiger going at it. I seen him going for it. I think the eye of Tiger was there. And listen to this. Whenever you favorite to win a tournament, you favorite to win the field, I mean, it's like they're not betting that these other guys would. It's Tiger, and then it's the rest of the field. I think the eye is blazing. The eyes like Katrina, like a hurricane, man. The eye of the Tiger, like they say on Shadows, come back when the fire blaze up, man. And I think Tiger's ready to blaze up.
Yeah, that's what he got to do.
I don't know, Sonny Red from Cleveland, Ohio. We need to take him to Pink Rhino, Sonny. You got to join the party bus. And we got to take him to the strip club. Bands of
Let's do it, man.
Bands of We got to get him. So we'll find out where's the next major, and we're going to protest and make us some T-shirts. Tiger, meet us here at this spot, and let's go do it.
And let's go to it, man. When you win this next major, Tiger, drinks on me.
One last question, Sonny, before I let you go. Maybe T-Rim might have one for you. But I just want you to, you know, say your opinion. This is another question of the night. Who's the better scorer, Kevin Durant or Carmelo Anthony?
Wow. Hey, in the world of Flavor Flav, wow. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Okay, I'm gonna tell you like this. I don't know where they're getting this pure score from, but I don't even know what's making me say this. But Kevin, Durant, the jump shot is crisp, man. It's saucy. So it's a toss up. You can hands and tails that one, man, because any given night they both can give you 40, at the drop of a hat. And really, just listen to this. I don't care how you score. Shaquille O'Neal was the best scorer because he shot from 2 feet away and everything was high percentage of dunk. So I don't care if you're shooting 2, 3, or 3.5, baby. Long as it go in and go in often, that's who I'm taking. So at any given night, man, you can just toss up. That's A+. I don't know.
For the first time, let's get this down, Rhodey. Are you writing this down? For the first time, Sonny Red cannot give us a final answer on a question.
That's A plus and A, man. I mean, they both jumpers crush me from the outside. They both can score inside because I've seen a skinny boy Durant take it to the hole. I mean,
That was a tough question, L Boogie, because I'm sitting there thinking, too.
Whoever's shooting better free throw percentage that night, I got to give it to that guy.
Yeah.
All you got to say to Carmelo Anthony is, hey, Lala, you know, all you got to do is say something about Lala, and you Durant might win.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, man. I don't. The man said something about the man's wife. He took offense to it, but I don't know. You just have an off grade. I think that these guys have been scrutinized and talked about so much, and I don't think a reference to somebody's wife would really throw your game off. I don't really think that things can throw your game off that another person says to you. You know, you might have something going on at home. You might have something going on in the office that might throw your game off. But I don't think that L. Meeks ever got on a basketball court and somebody said something to him and threw his game off. I just don't see that happening. And we're talking about professional athletes that make millions and millions of dollars can get thrown off because you said something about my woman or my mother. I'm not going for that. Maybe in the Muni League, maybe in the Power League, but not in the NBA.
There you have it. Ro, you got a question for Sonny before we go?
No, man, you know, I just like hearing Sonny's opinions, man. So, you know, Sonny Red, much love to you, baby. I agree with you on just about everything. L did throw you a curveball. He threw you a doozy on that question between Durant and also Carmelo. Because, how can you really choose that one? Because both of those boys are dynamic at doing what they do. You know, it's just... they just do it different, but it comes up with the same result, 35-40 a night. So, you know, you can't go wrong with choosing either one. I'm like you. Whoever got the best free throw percentage that night, yeah, I'm going with that kid.
Absolutely, man. I got to give a shout-out to y'all, man. Once again, you're doing it, and you're doing it well. Why get a cake when you can get a double-decker, man? Anything you do once, you can do it twice. Big shout-out to the streets that's watching, man. I'm gone.
Already. Much love to you, Sonny Red. Streets is talking, baby.
And when the streets is talking like E.F. Hunt, everybody listen. I got to thank my man T-Nick for giving me that line for the show. And speaking of T-Nick, from the sports officials, is T-Nick on the line, Ro? You got him in?
Boy, your boy T-Nick is on the line. How y'all feeling, fellas?
Oh, man, we feeling marvelous on this Monday.
Hey,
what's
man,
up,
first
T-Nick?
Of all, man, I'm feeling good, man. First of all, I want to thank y'all. Let me steal a little line from Boogie when he called the show. First of all, I want to thank y'all for calling in yesterday, man, because, you know, Mitch and Millie Neal, you know, y'all heard them talking about the college players, should they get paid or not, and them dudes, man, even when we went off the air, man, they were still arguing, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they face-to-face, they was tripping, you know what I'm saying? And y'all dropped, man, hey, Zero, you dropped the knowledge, you know, Boogie call in, dropped the knowledge. You know, Boogie jumped on Neil's side, then he jumped on Mitch's side, then he jumped back on Neil's side. Man, it was hilarious, man. It was a fantastic time, man. But I just want to chip in a little bit, man, on some of the things that I was talking about, and I'm going to run down the line with it because you know how I do it. Tigger, Little Tiger, you know, they was trying, you know, on the rules and whatnot. He asked one of the officials about the drop before he signed his scorecard. They told him he was cool, okay? He signed the scorecard thinking it was cool. And then you had somebody call in who was watching it on TV and say what he did. And then they went back and accepted him the two-stroke penalty. Now, I don't know what y'all be watching, but what number can you call to tell them, you know, to tell them, hey, he dropped it wrong? You know what I'm saying? If that's the case, can I call in and say, hey, that was a foul on Carmelo, call the foul. Or that was a travel on LeBron, call the travel. Can we do that? That was a pass interference. We can't do that. I want to know what number you can call to say, hey, that was wrong. Y'all need to go back and fix that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But Tiger's going to be all right. He's going to be okay. Look, I know you ain't feeling it right now, but it's a hell of a shot to hit the pin, man. For you to hit the pin off an iron shot, that wasn't no put. He hit the damn pin, and the pin made the ball go back into the water. So, hell of a shot by Tiger. You know, it is what it is. Haters going to hate. You know, he's great. It is what it is. So, moving on to Kobe. Kobe is one selfish dude. We all know damn well Kobe ain't going out on an injury. We know that. Just like you said, Ro, he doesn't care less. Ain't no ring, okay? There is no ring coming unless he just right. jumps ship and go to the Heat. Ain't no ring coming, okay? But he can be better than Mike because, as you know, as I know, and everybody else watching who watched Mike growing up, he chewed his gum like Mike. He walked like Mike. He talked like Mike. Shaved his head like Mike. Anything he do, he want to be better than Mike. Hell, he weighed 24 because Mike wore 23. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We ain't stupid.
Right.
We ain't stupid. So he going to work hard. The ninja going to work hard. He going to come back within those 9 months, and he going to get it in. He going to break that record, and he going to walk out on his own terms. That's what he want him to do. As far as D-Rose was on the bench at the beginning of the season. But y'all ballers, just like I'm a baller. It's only so much you can take when your team getting their heads cracked and you can't help them. You know what I'm saying? It's only so much. So he had to go up top. But not only that, he is Chicago baby. He's Chicago born and bred. So they love him no matter what he do. He can go sit up in the suites because he's probably in the street when we don't see him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's probably
right.
in the street. We don't see him. Yeah, he in the street. He's kicking it. You know what I'm saying? He need no brown handing out turkeys on Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
No question.
That's what he's doing.
No question.
That's exactly what he's doing, man. He getting it in. You know, so I ain't mad at him. You know, in a way, I'm kind of like y'all, like you need to be on the bench with me. But if his teammates ain't saying nothing, I ain't got nothing to say. You know what I'm saying? So they know behind the scenes what we don't know. You know, and lastly but not least, I'm going to go ahead and touch on the Carmelo and Kevin Durant. Carmelo is hated because of the Denver fiasco. That's all it is. And he's married to la, 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 la. That's the only reason. You know what I'm saying? If he wore the tight booty pants, the tight booty jeans with the backpack and the glasses, you know what I'm saying, he'd have been loved too. But let's remember, Carmelo was a captain on that USA basketball team along with LeBron and D-Wade. Let's remember that it was Carmelo's Jays, not Kevin Durant. It was Carmelo's Jays that came off the bench and helped win that game against the Gasol and Spain and steal that gold medal. It was Carmelo that did that. Carmelo never had teammates. Carmelo never played in the system. The only system that he played in when he had a real coach, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse. And what he do there, he won the national title. One and done. Hey, streets are talking, and it's like E.F. Hutton, bruh. You know what it is. Everybody listening, just like in sports officials, dog. We all listen. Keep doing your thing, T-Ro. Keep doing your thing, Boogie. Jules the D, out on a mission. Keep doing your thing, bruh. We're going to holler at you.
Yeah. T-Nick, much love, baby. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call,
T-Nick,
y'all.
Can I... Can you plug your show real fast? You need to tell the audience where we can we listen to you.
Yes, sir. TheSportsOfficials.com every Sunday at 1 o'clock. You're going to hear me. You're going to hear Mitch. You're going to hear Nilly Neal. We got the OG scorekeeper. And you're also going to hear El Boogie. And you're also going to hear T-Row when they call in and drop their knowledge as well. TheSportsOfficials.com every Sunday at 1 o'clock. No, I'll let you.
That's what it is.
Hey,
Big Brother,
Sports Officials. T-Nick, don't forget Freestyle Friday. We need you. It's a special edition for our freestylers. No beat. You just got to come a cappella.
Hey, I apologize about last week. That was Heineken number 7. I was off beat like a mug, boy.
Don't worry about it. It sounded good.
I think we all were, so we're going to get it right.
That's what's up, dog. I'll let you.
Okay. There it is. There you have it. Sunny Red, T-Nick calling, giving their opinions on the first half of the show. Hey, Ro, can you throw up a paper? That's just like comparing Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. You have two guys who are splitting images, who can play that position better than any guy in the league at this point in time.
Yeah, and to go along with what T-Nick said, you know, during the Olympics, it was a time when they called on Carmelo Anthony to come in and do the scoring to actually get the USA team going. And it just wasn't also against Spain. It was against Argentina. It was also against Italy. You know, Carmelo, man, that's a dynamic dude. You know, him and Durantula do what they do best. You know, and it's just hard to actually try to pick one of these guys over one another. Ah, man, that's just tough, man. You can't go wrong. You know what I mean? You can't go wrong. So, yeah, that was a good point T-Nick brought up.
Wow. There you have it. Woo-wee. Woo-wee. Oh, man, we getting live tonight. You know we always got to get a shout-out to the producer, DJ Steph. We about to go to a commercial. When we come back coming from commercial, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. It's that time of the year. A couple brawls early. A couple teams not doing so well early. Call if you want your opinion. 347-855-8896. You can tweet me at LBoogie15. And we appreciate you listening in. We're about to go to commercial. So what you saying? We don't play when it's time to slay. I get a cup from my homie, yo. They're not late. Back and Mac and all the rhymes I packed. And waiting for a sucker to jump and then attack. Well, I'm known to be the master in the MC field. No second 87, 88, you kneel. Stop producing, get loose when it's time to perform. Whack a sucker like mop and blow. That's where it's born. Back the second time. Put on a different assignment. To do a sucker new jack. Who needs to rap in the line? Because I'm the cream of the crop. When it's time to do a show. Girlies on my jock for my dope intro. As I glance at the double K microphone record. Turn on my callers and say a mic checker to the ladies. And all party goers. Some call me P, another slow flower. Brothers on my jock for the way I hold a piece of steel. So what you saying? Understand what I'm saying, catch a sucker in my way, and I'm swaying, taking no shorts, showing vital signs, you can tell by my lines that I'm getting mines at 99, because I'm fine as wine, sit back and recline, watch the sunshine, take a stroll, listen to rock and roll, catch a flick at the movies, danceable, cause I choose to refuse to slack, while I'm back, I take a chance, Jack, so I must attack, with knick-knack, patty-whack, so I won't lack, on my style is death, and then deadly as crack, while I'm playing music, playing, the sucker is lame. Better known as statistic. Brothers on our job while we kicking ballistics. Dropping this like a mouse and you got to chill and more. The proof is in the pudding. So check the billboards. People around town talking this and that. How we sound like the R and our music is whack. Drop the album Strictly Business and you thought we were fold. 30 days later, the LP went gold. So what you saying? So what you're saying, man, we got a special guest Oh, man, we got a special guest, bro. I had to fly him, you know what I'm saying? I had to go to him and, you know, got to get in the streets, got grimy. He's finally in the asylum. He's the assistant head coach at Chandler High School in Chandler, Arizona. His name is Russell Scott. Coach Scott, how you doing?
Superman can fly way up in the sky.
Yeah. How y'all doing,
That's
brother?
How it's supposed to be, baby. Hey, man, how you doing, Coach Scott?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. How you doing tonight?
Man, glad to hear your voice, brother. First time caller, huh?
Oh, yeah. But you brothers are doing great things, man. I've had a chance to listen in a couple of times, and I've got to say, you know, you guys take a real close look at sports. You know, you analyze, you know, some of the things that athletes are doing, both on the positive and negative side, and you bring a side out that, you know, everyone should hear. And I wish there would even be a few more young people to listen to, you know, some of the things that people are saying, you know, on this show, because there's been a lot of positive brothers that have called this show, and you know, I hate for it to just be, you know, all for adults, man. You know, if some of the kids, and I'm talking older kids, I'm talking high school kids, my kids, you know, could listen, you know, on some of the topics that you guys speak about, I think it would do a whole lot of good. So you brothers keep on doing what you're doing, and, man, I'm loving this. I'm loving it.
Appreciate it, baby. Appreciate
you,
the love.
Thank you, Coach. Don't
Absolutely.
Forget, Coach, tell your students, we know you know, you're also, he's also a school teacher, Will, so he teaches special education, and as you see, Will, anybody that we can talk to or whatnot, we're all about the world, community, humanitarian, and we just want to give back to the world, and that includes,
Absolutely.
First, we got to start up within the community.
Absolutely.
So, one question
now,
before you
I know at one time, and I'm sorry to cut you off a minute, you know, and I heard we were going to talk about baseball, but I know one of the burning questions that you had and T. Rose had is about Deion Jordan. Deion Jordan played for us at Chandler High School, and he played wide receiver, and he also played defensive tackle. And we knew Deion was going to be special his junior year. His sophomore year, he got, you know, he had a few catches and a few tackles, but his junior year, he really shined with, I think he had 47 catches, man, and I don't know the number of touchdowns. I think it was 22 touchdowns, you know. So he was able to shine on the offensive side, but what they didn't see was that we were able to move Deion across the defensive line. He not only played defensive end, but he also played defensive tackle. Now, remember, at that time, because right now he's 6'8", at that time he was probably about 6'5 and a half at that time, you know. So he had leverage and he had strength against high school kids, and so he was dominant. And now what you see from the young man, because, you know, it's just like when you and I used to speak, Boogie, about LeBron James, you know, and the gifts that he had when he was in high school, and now you take a look at him and it's a whole different level. Deion's on a different level right now, because what you see right now is you see a lot of raw talent. And as the pro scouts begin, or even his team, whatever team that's going to be, begins working with him, you're going to see this young man on an entirely different level. He is just that capable of being that good. And the reason for that is, And you know, it goes along with some of the stuff I just got through talking about as far as your show and reaching out, is this young man is very, very humble. He's very, very coachable. You know, he's not going to say, I know this, I know that. He's not going to say that. You know, when a coach is giving instruction, he's going to say, yes, sir, and I'm going to do that. You know, he's that kind of kid, man. That's why, you know, he's so highly touted, not just for what he does on the field, but what kind of person he is. You know, he's a leader. He's a follower of good leaders. And he's just an outstanding young man. So we are thinking, you know, he's going to be anywhere from number 2 to number 10 picks of this year's draft. And he's earned that. Every single bit of it, man. Every single bit of it.
Wow. Can I ask a question, Coach? What is it that you can tell the young callers, or you can tell the adults that are listening in that maybe have student athletes in their home, their daughters or their sons? What's a message that you might want to tell them? Because you're a coach, you coach football, track, and you just you coach people. So what is it that you can tell the young people, the adults who have kids who play athletics, who have student athletes?
Well, UL Boogie and T-Row, we've talked about this before. It's as we get older, you know, especially in our teens, we think we know what we don't know. And so maintaining an open mind, being coachable, not saying a whole lot of practice, listening to instructions, executing the fundamentals, being humble. Those are the things that are key to a young person at an early age, through high school. Your coaches are trying to show you the way to get it done. And, even though you might have, been coached by somebody else and you had success, when you go somewhere else, you got to, take that and put that in the back seat because, this is something new now. It's a new coach, new experience. And so you keep your mind open, you remain coachable, you execute the fundamentals the way they're supposed to be, and then, you take the fundamentals and all the teachings that you've been given, and then you put it into your game. And that's when you shine, So that's the main thing for me, man, is just being coachable.
Wow. There you have it. And, Coach, can I ask one more question?
Point.
Is there... Go ahead,
Ro. I was just going to say that's a great point. Coach, you hit it right on the nail, man. Being open-minded to coaching. That's what it's all about, learning the fundamentals. I think the kids nowadays see too much on TV and won't think that they can just wake up, from a overnight sleep and be great without practicing or being fundamentally ready. So, the points that you hit on were right on point, man, and I just wanted to say that as far as what you were saying.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Boogie, you was gonna say something?
Coach Scott, man, we really do appreciate. How's the team? I know you're the track coach for
track
the girls team. How's your track season going so far?
Yeah, I am. I'm the head boys track coach. We're doing okay. We've had some injuries the last few weeks. We've lost some key components to the boys' team. We'd like to win back-to-back state championships. It's going to be a struggle. There's, a couple of good teams out there with Profi Prep, Corona, Desert Vista. There's some tough teams out there, so it's going to be tough for us to repeat. But the girls are on a whole other level, man. Our girls' team is very intense. They want to be able to beat you and not just beat you but beat you soundly. Work hard. They're extremely coachable. But the greatest thing about the group of girls that we had over at Chandler High School is a word I was going to use called unity. They're united, and they all pull for each other. Track can be a very individual sport, but what those girls do is they cheer for each other to win. And it's very moving to watch them, not just on the track, but those who are in the stands or those who are watching, pulling for their girls to be successful. It's been a very moving experience. They've helped me to collect a lot of jewelry, I ride their coattail. We coach them hard, and after we coach them hard, we ride their coattails. All the way to these state championships. They got two national championships. Do we think we're the best program? No, because we want to stay humble. But sources say we're the number one program in the United States for a girls' high school track.
The streets
awesome.
Is talking.
Streets
number one
talking.
In the country for girls' track.
High school. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many state championships in a row, coach, for girls?
Seven. Going for eight.
7, going for 8. Wow.
This boy pulling a Bill Russell.
Yeah.
He's pulling a Bill Russell. And like EPMD, you're EPMD fan, so you're just going to hop on the bandwagon, huh?
Yeah. Something else I'd like to mention real quick, and then, fellas, I've got to get back to I got to put entries in for our next track meet. But, I was informed while I was at practice today about what happened in Boston, man. Brother, my heart goes out to people, you know. We got to be able to figure this thing out, man. I don't know if we ever will, but, you know, when you go to a sporting event and people have to get hurt because of selfishness, it's man. I already know you guys already feel it, but, you know, I can't help but say, you know, to everybody who's out there listening, we've got to grab a hold of our families and make sure we hug them and tell them that we love them every single day, because with these types of actions, you just don't know what's going to happen in this world, man. But, you know, we've got to come together, man, and figure this thing out, because that's too, way too bad. And this, you can go back to, you know, the elementary school shooting, you can go back to all that kind of stuff, man. You know, all of it's sad. The whole thing is sad, man. But we need to all sit down and talk about, you know, how we can make this thing work, man. Because this is becoming too much.
Yes, it is. And we talked about that earlier, Coach Scott. We touched on that. And, you know, we were all on the same page with that. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they did it at this type of event. You know what I mean? This is an event that some people really look forward to. They work out hard for months and years to actually, you know, get themselves qualified, because this is the only race that you have to qualify for, you know. Right. So, you know, a lot of people put in a lot of hard sweat and tears to try to even qualify for this 27,000 strong, and for that to happen, man, especially at the end of the race, during the race, but at the end of the race is what makes it so incredibly unthinkable of what happened, what took place down there in Boston today. So, we with you, man. We trying to send out shouts. And we do need to sit down, you know, and try to figure out, you know, because we are some strong-headed men of color, and we can try to do something and start, you know, making a path to try to help those who don't see it like we see it. So, I'm with you on that, man.
You know, it's way too bad, man. I don't know how many. Everybody's innocent. Everybody out there was innocent. So I don't know. You know, I didn't see the numbers. I just heard about it when I was at track practice, and you know, it just puts a damper kind of on things. You know, then you got to turn around and be a coach, and you got to coach your athletes up. But at the same time, there's a place in your heart that
goes out
for
our family.
You know what I'm saying? So it's tough. You know what I'm saying, Boogie? It's tough, man.
Oh, man, no question. Because, you know, we're humanitarians, and we just hurt when people hurt.
Right.
You know, not just our family, but we're hurt when other people's hurt on something that you really don't have any control of. You're saying a sporting event where you're thinking everything's pure.
Right.
You know, people, they don't mess with the Olympics. They don't mess with any sporting event because that's the purest thing we got left. And now it has been tainted, Ski.
Yeah.
Now it has been tainted.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you calling us. We appreciate you blessing the mic as usual. You know, so, man, keep listening. First time caller, always listener, Coach Scott, a.k.a. Russ Ski, with the Ski Mask way.
Hey, take care, man. Hey, I don't know if Sonny Red's still listening, man, but, hey, Sonny Red, it was good to hear your voice, brother. Good to hear your voice, man.
No doubt. We will let Sonny Red know. Remember, Ski, you was in the asylum tonight, baby. You was in the spot.
No doubt. Hey,
you got fingerprinted tonight. You got processed.
Yeah. I will call in again, man. I'm glad you brothers were patient with me and knowing that, you know, the hectic schedule that I have, you know, and but I have been listening, though. You know, I am an avid listener, And but I will be calling in again soon.
It is what it is. We appreciate it, man. L Boogie, tell him what to do.
Tell a friend, tell a friend, and tell a girlfriend, Coach. So,
all right.
You know, some stuff is always appreciated in the asylum. You feel me?
Always, brother, always. That was good to hear Coach Scott's voice, man. You know, it's been a minute since we've actually been able to get in contact with Coach Scott via the schedule with boys and girls track season. So big ups to Coach Scott, you know, much success to that fella. And, you know, he's been one of the ones who's been a mentor to, you know, to me as I've been coming up, because I met him when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, and here I am, you know, 20, 21 years later. And he's still one of my favorite mentors, and love to always hear his voice when I can. So you know what it is, L Boogie. Always big ups to Coach Scott and what he's got going
blessed,
on.
Blessed love to Coach Scott. Blessed love to Russ Ski. And he says some vital things that our young listeners need to, you know, listen to, and that is, you know, being coachable. You know, being coachable in what you do and being able to, you know, they lay it out, you play it out. So that's real crucial in this thing that we call being a student athlete. So
all
hey,
the time,
Coach,
all the time,
Coach Ski. Before we go to the commercial, go ahead, T-Ro.
I was gonna say I'm surprised he must not have had enough time to talk about the Lakers, because I know he is a big Laker fan, to talk about Kobe and that situation. But you know, I was thinking about, you know, I was trying to think back of the last player in the league that went out, you know, with an injury. And the only person that I can think of is Charles Barkley when he was playing for the Houston Rockets in, like, what, 95, 96, when he tried to go over there and do big things.
But he
ended up having that leg injury.
He was like Larry Holmes. He got flabby and sick.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that knee muscle went into his thigh. Oh, man, yeah, it was pretty nasty, man. But I think that's the last player that I can recall besides Joe Theismann, you know, actually going out on an injury. So as far as Kobe is concerned, I think Kobe's going to come back, and he's going to be all right. Oh, Penny. Penny also went down with a injury. You know, as a matter of fact, it was an Achilles injury just as well. So we'll see how Kobe does. I think Penny, he wasn't that old, but Penny was, he was up there in age, and he wasn't able to really do his thing. So we'll see. I'm hoping that Kobe comes back. Like I said, his motivation to me is all about, you know, beat Mike as far as scoring as many points as Mike, as far as the NBA history is concerned, as far as points.
Yeah.
So
there you have it. Before we go to our last commercial, when we come back, we'll have Mises Mind. We'll give our shout out. Producer, hit me with something before we, you know, got to pay the bills right quick, because we still in the street. Can you give me something?
Wealthy niggas fly out.
There it is. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. It's your boy L Boogie, T Rose, Joel, the D. You gotta listen in. I just see we got the coach. Wow, we doing big things.
Ignited. One time for all my niggas that dreamed it then realized it. I swear I've been through everything in life but a coffin. They saying sky's the limit. How, bitch, I'm moonwalking. And my middle name Michael Ho. Success is my idol and being broke is my rival. But it's cool cause I got the title. Ho, see, I just want my fantasies in real life. You got everything, tell me what it feel like. Motherfuck the radio, if I can't hear mine. They get a wrong niggas, more airtime than airlines. Is you feeling me? If not, you feel my energy. See, I know I'ma make it, but even if I don't feel bad. Cause honestly, all these times that I had, those will be the best memories. What you love, for who you love, or lose your girlfriend, the groupie love. Everywhere I go, I get a group of hugs. That's what happens when they need connections and you the plug. How many trends you gotta set so you consider great? How many missed calls do you consider fake? How many dreams till it's considered fake? I'm eating in a world where I'm considered baked. A workaholic addicted to bills. People addicted to me cause they addicted to real. My best friend got addicted to pills. I can't look at him in his eyes. You don't know how that shit feel mentally. I ain't trying to rock no shirt that say in memory. I'm praying that he make it, wishing we could go back. Cause honestly, all the times that we had, those will be the best memories.
We getting live. We in the asylum, baby. The streets is talking with your boy L Boogie. Thank you, DJ, the producer. We appreciate that. T Raw, give a couple shout outs before we get out of here.
Man, you know me, man. Shout out to the world. Shout out to all the callers that called in, man. You know, everybody sitting in the studio with us. You know, your peeps that came down from the cold weather state to enjoy some of this warm weather and these palm trees. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is, baby. Oh, much love and a shout out to my son's basketball team, the Bulldogs. They right now we 0-3, but, you know, things are looking up. And some things are going to change to where they're going to turn the season around. They're going to go from worst to first, L Boogie. You feel me? Coach Granado, I believe that's her name. You know, she's doing an excellent job with the kids. And, you know, when you guys get a chance, man, come check out little T-Row Jr., man, trying to do his thing. You know what I mean? He's out there on the basketball court playing in his first organized league. So just come and check out your boy, T-Row Jr., and much love to the Bulldogs once again.
Oh, man, that's what's up. First of all, I want to give a shout-out just to Boston, Massachusetts. I want to give much love to that state and all the families and people that was affected by that. Secondly, I want to give a shout-out to my fourth and fifth grade basketball team at Arthur Butler down, you know what I mean, where I teach at. They said, Coach, can you give us a shout-out on the radio? I said, yeah, not a problem. Now you're all over the world, guys. Shout-out to my team. Another shout out to all my kids, my son, Davell. Keep doing your thing, baby. Keep hitting the weights, man. Keep being that student athlete. And once again, to my daughter, she graduates next month on the 19th, bro. So a couple shout outs right quick. But let me tell you what's on Meeks' mind. First thing that's on Meeks' mind, if people don't recall, July 2010. A guy named Lorenzen Wright, he played for the NBA. He played 13 years in the NBA, 5 teams. He was gunned down. Police did nothing at the time. At the time he was found, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about Lorenzen Wright. He went to the University of Memphis, was a star there. Played for 5 teams in the NBA, a total of 13 years. Made over $55 million. At the time he was killed or gunned down, he made a 911 call. He weighed 260 pounds when they found him on the dead end road in the bushes on the long rural road in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. He weighed 50 pounds. His body was decomposed. Why did they wait so long and they had the 911 call? They don't know what happened. Case is still open. Was it a drug deal going bad? That's what his wife said. Was he in debt? But it's amazing that after he was buried, his wife, his ex-wife, collected $1 million and spent $900,000 of it in 10 months. It made me want to think, how did Lorenzen Wright die? Secondly, what's on my mind? The Boston Marathon explosion. Are we safe?
People are using other people, good people, as collateral damage to make a statement. Why do we always have to do that with innocent people? Why? That's just the way it goes. I guess that's just how it goes in the street. Bigger level than how we are. And last but not least, what's on my mind, once again, these young guys going to the league. I'm going to leave you with this question. The draft. The NCAA players going early. Should they get paid? On one hand, I say yes. Not the astronomical numbers that they want, maybe $200 to $300 a month or every 2 weeks. But you get everything else for free. Soak it up. Get the education, the real education, life. Because that NBA, as they call the league, the NFL, which they call the shield, and Major League Baseball, which they call the show, is really the street. And they will eat you alive if you're not ready for it. Man, it's your boy L Boogie. Always spitting some knowledge for you. Get with us Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. The streets is talking. Your boy, UL's the G, T Row. Appreciate you listening and calling in, world. We'll see you on Friday, 9 p.m. Freestyle. Let's go! One.
R.I.P. We just killed the club. Took the tone out the bottle, almost killed the
club.
When I'm so high, I can't feel the truck. Too many haters in here.
Yeah.